Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and our next segment is being powered by Mercer Well Service. We certainly appreciate their support and their sponsorship. And I tell you, of course, the start of the college football season will soon be here. It is literally just around the corner. I know we're in the month of July, but we're already seeing the magazines coming out, the preseason favorites. And last week, we focused with our friends at Phil Steele Magazine on the Big 12 Conference. We're going to head a little bit north. We're going to talk about the Big 10 Conference, and I want to zero in on Nebraska, talk some Wisconsin, as they are at the top of the Big 10 Conference this year, and they look to be the preseason favorites. We're so delighted to welcome in on our Under the Helmet segment our weekly guest, Jason Peter. Jason, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Alyssa?
Hey, it's Fast and Furious. Once again, I got the kids in studios, so I'm multitasking. It's a two-on-one fast break, but they're behaving. And so I'm ready to talk some college football. And it has been a while. I mean, Jason, every week when you're on, you know, we're hitting on some of the intriguing storylines nationwide. But let's, you know, talk about your Nebraska Cornhuskers. I mean, what can we anticipate coming into this season? And as I had just said, I mean, it looks like they're one of the favorites within the Big Ten Conference.
Well, that's what they're writing, and as you know, these experts have been wrong in the past, and I know that some people think Nebraska will be atop the leaders division at the end of the season. I'm not one of them. I think they're going to have some issues on defense. I think offensively they're still trying to figure out what they want to do. Taylor Martinez, the quarterback, has spent a large part of his summer in California working with a quarterback guru who supposedly is going to change or has changed his entire throwing motion. Now, that was, I think, one of the biggest disappointments of having the spring game canceled was that we were going to see, I guess, some of this work, because he also worked with this quarterback guru during some of the winter breaks and the spring breaks. So there had been a lot of talk about the changes that he's made, and now spending more time out in the summer, out in California with this guy, we've heard more about the changes and how people are going to be just jaw-dropping shocked when they see the new Taylor Martinez out there. I personally, I don't buy it. You might be able to change your throwing motion in practice, and you may be able, you know, when you don't have pads on and you don't have a 300-pound defensive lineman that's chasing you, or a 6'5", 260-pound defensive end who's just screaming around the tackle box and he's going to ear hole you. Those are the times when you find out whether or not something is legit. I think in those types of situations, I think kids will ultimately, they're going to fall, not even kids, grown men, will fall back to what they know and what their body's been doing for the last 18 years of their life, and that's throwing the ball a certain way, that's running a certain way. I think that it is a very, very difficult habit to change, because to be quite honest, I mean, any coach who has had him up to this point has had to have said, we need to try to change this throwing motion a little bit, and nothing has ever stuck. So now all of a sudden, you spend a few weeks total with a guy, he's going to change your throwing motion? I'm going to have to see it before I actually believe it. So that's a big question mark, I think, with Taylor Martinez. He's not going to Big Ten Media Days here in a few weeks, which I think is a joke, and it's more kind of babying this kid. He's now going to be a three-year starter at quarterback at the University of Nebraska. It's not just the senior thing. Bo Pelini has taken underclassmen before. I think he's the quarterback. He needs to be there and answering some questions. And this is the problem I've had with him, is they kind of baby him and they treat him with kid gloves. And that's all part of maturing as not just a football player, as a human being, and turning into a young man is being able to step up in front of reporters and answer questions. And this is why I did this, and this is why I did that. And he's never had to be put in those situations. They always say, and he's not the best in front of the media, I realize that, but he's not going to get any better by hiding in a closet. I mean, you've got to put him out there and make him accountable for the things that he does out on the football field.
Jason Peter is with us with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Again, it's being powered by our friends at Mercer Well Service. And Jason, of course, last year, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, they came up short, but they were in the preseason, as I understand. They were picked number one, but they finished third at 5-3. And so perhaps, I mean, I'm just trying to see it from Taylor's perspective. I mean, there's some real motivation there that he knows that he's got to refine his skill set. He perhaps has to change some things. And I think back to when we were covering spring football for the University of Oklahoma, Landry Jones, I mean, he flew out to California and he spent some time with one of those quarterback gurus out there. I can't think of his name offhand, but he wanted to go ahead and try to improve. I mean, do you appreciate that he's willing to try?
I appreciate the fact that he's, I guess, looking to improve. I don't know, I find it hard that you're in a Division I program with Division I coaches and you're having to go elsewhere. I mean, that's
okay, I see where you're coming from.
That's a slap, or maybe that's a sign of the coaches that Bo Pelini has working for him. Mm-hmm. If they're not capable of fixing it, I mean, this is a guy who works with players on weekends here and there. I do give him credit, I guess, for maybe recognizing that, hey, the guy I have right now, he's not helping me. So I'll go elsewhere and see if they can do it. But too many people are giving them credit for putting work in during the summer. That's what you're supposed to do. I was reading some local guys writing about Taylor the other day, and they were saying, well, we give him credit for putting in work over the summer. You're supposed to put in work. I'm not going to give you credit for taking care of your kids like Chris Rock says. You're supposed to take care of your kids.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way that when you win championships, you can ask any coach, any player that's won a championship. That was a given, putting in those extra hours that you've got to say to yourself, is my opponent putting in these hours? And you have to count on the fact that they are. Most likely, you know, maybe 100% of your opponents aren't doing that extra work. But, I mean, this was how we operated. I mean, we would go through all of the practices, the weightlifting, and everything else that was handed to us or put on our table at the University of Nebraska when we were back there. But, you know, then myself and Grant Wistrom and my brother, I mean, Jared Tomich, we'd go home for an hour, put our feet up, and then we'd get in the car and we'd go to Gold's Gym and we'd train for another hour or 2 hours.
Love it, yeah.
We always wanted to do extra, and we never were looking for people to kind of pat us on the back. But look, I hope that I'm wrong in this case. I really do. I just think being an athlete and knowing how hard it is to change something like that, I just I'm not a believer as of yet. And Taylor will be a huge part of how well this team does, obviously, on offense. You know, Rex Burkhead is a bona fide star. And when they don't give him the ball 20-plus times, usually they're on the losing end of games, or they're at least struggling to get through the game. He is a guy that it's head-scratching to me why they just don't put the offense on his shoulders and say, we're riding you until you can't go anymore. He's a workhorse. He's a blue-collar type kid. He's a team-first type kid, and he's the guy that you want representing this school, and he's the guy that I want the ball in his hands when we need to get that first down or we need to get the ball over the end zone. Taylor, you know, he's just his actions have showed me that he's not that guy, not yet. And right now, Bo Pelini is far enough along in his career that he needs to win now. 9-4 is not going to be making the Husker Red family very, very, very enthusiastic.
Okay, since you bring up Rex, I mean, if he was anointed as the starting quarterback, I mean, do you think the media would have accessibility, that he would be present, he would be available at the Big Ten media days? Because you were just mentioning that Taylor Martinez, that he's going to be a no-show. And it seems like there's a lot of control that goes on within the Nebraska program. I mean, my goodness, we were talking earlier, the fact that Coach Pelini, I mean, no more Twitter.
Well, I think with these guys, I know with Bo, he is a control freak, as I think a lot of these guys are. But I think the ones that are overly controlling and the ones who micromanage, I think they have a hard time having a lot of success. I think at some point you have to trust your players, you have to trust your coaches that they're going to get the job done. The assistant coaches are the guys that spend most of the time with the kids. I mean, you can go as a head coach from position group to position group out on the field and spend 5-10 minutes with each group, but the real work, I mean, the meeting rooms and the group work when nobody's watching, I mean, that stuff is all done with the assistant coaches. So you better make sure that you have good assistant coaches, and you've got to put some sort of responsibility in their hands. But I also get the fact of wanting to know everything that is going on in your team, within your team. And like you said, he banned Twitter, and I've got no problem with that. I think there's too many knuckleheads on these teams. You know, you put 130, 140 guys together, all different walks of life. Not all of them are going to make the right decision, or they're not going to use the right choice of words, and it can be a very reactive type source of social media, Twitter. I mean, you see something, you hear something, boom, you're right back. Somebody tweets something to you, boom, you're writing something back before you even know what you actually said is going to offend a lot of people or put other people in a bad situation. So I'm all for him banning that. It's just another distraction, I think, for kids that already have a ton on their plate, more so than when I played. I mean, now these kids are so under the microscope, and every little thing that they do is being watched. I just think when it comes to Twitter, there's just too much contact there. Kids, they believe everything that's read or written about them. Even when you're talking about professional journalists who, you know, they write about how good they are, and you know, Coach Osborne used to say, "You're never as good as they are, as they say, and you're never as bad as they are." but I just think that when you have just any Joe Blow writing into these kids' Twitter's accounts and telling them that, you know, they're either the best player that they've ever seen or they're the worst player that they've ever seen, I don't think that these young kids know how to handle that sort of stuff, and they get sucked in. And so I'm all for that. But, yeah, it's it's I think something that in order for Bo to get over this hump of kind of finishing second or third or fourth in division, going 9-4, I think in order to get over that hump, you've got to let your assistant coaches do their work.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to pause and direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And we love hearing from each and every one of you. Email us at info@eradiosports.com. And Jason's web address is jasonpeter.com. We're very excited for him. We're sending out congratulations. He's got a brand new radio show that will be starting in Omaha in the month of August. How is everything coming together with that, Jay?
It's good. I think we're closing in here on a co-host. And we'll be kicking it off here in just a couple of weeks. Perfect time with the college football season right around the corner.
Okay, the Big Ten, there was a wonderful article online talking about it is no longer a league of longevity, and just some of the coaches that, you know, have tainted, they had solid reputations, but no longer, whether it was Jim Tressel or Joe Paterno. But right now, can you just talk about how this league has really been energized with Urban Meyer being on board, Jason, and heading things up at Ohio State?
It's been huge. I think it's giving the Big Ten, obviously, a lot of front-page, newsworthy type articles. And let's face it, I mean, the SEC has been just splattered all over the front page of every magazine, every newspaper, and Urban has, you know, the rings to back it up. And obviously, some people feel like he left Florida kind of in shambles, and that was part of the reason maybe why he left, is he knew what was coming. But either way, I think he's taken a program that went through a pretty rough time with Jim Tressel and all of the illegal stuff that went on there and the NCAA violations, and Ohio State was down, and people kind of looked at Ohio State as, man, we could go through a tough stretch here if we don't kind of bounce back and bounce back quickly, and that's what they did. I mean, they went out and they got the number one college coach on the market, not many people talk about Jim Tressel anymore. I mean, they really don't. It's Ohio State now is the first name you think of is Urban Meyer, and he's got a good quarterback to work with in Braxton Miller. I mean, this kid, he came and he played in Lincoln last year. He came off the bench, and he started this game out here. He actually got hurt, and another kid had to come in. But if Braxton Miller doesn't get hurt in that Nebraska game, Ohio State wins easily. I think it was Nebraska's greatest comeback ever. They were down 24 points or something like that, and they came back, and it all happened after Braxton Miller went down. But watching that kid play firsthand, he's a stud, and I'm sure he's a big reason why Urban took that job, because he kind of looks at this kid and says, you know, kind of familiar as to another kid that I had who could kind of run the football and kind of a kid that you can build a team around and Tim Tebow. Ohio State, obviously, they still have to deal with some of the violations, but that's not going to stop Urban or Ohio State from trying to win every single football game that they play, and their recruiting has been good enough over the last 10 years, where they've got players on that team, and they're going to be dangerous no matter who they're playing.
Well, Jason, you're exactly right, because Urban Meyer does step into just a tremendous situation. And as you were just talking about, you know, the quarterback Braxton Miller, I mean, he really is a perfect fit for this offense. How do you think that they will do? I mean, do you pick them ahead of Wisconsin?
Well, I actually do. I think that there's not going to be a major transition period with them going from Luke Fickell to Urban. I think this is a guy that from the moment he stepped in the door I think he had the attention of every single player, and there was no, oh, but we want Coach Fickell as our coach. It's Urban Meyer, and the thing that he brings with him, like I said, is championships. And when you're
and he's got two of them.
Yeah, yeah, and when you're at college, that's what you want to do. You want to win championships, and that's what, you know, he's going to make these kids believe is that they're going to win a championship. And you know, when you look at Wisconsin, and they've done a tremendous job up there. Brett Bielema has turned them into kind of a national power, but you know, they're also losing a talented quarterback in Russell Wilson. They've got another transfer kid that's coming in, and it looks like they're going to try to kind of pick up where they left off. And Monty Ball is going to be the featured player on that offense. And, you know, they'll still have an offensive line that averages 320, 330 across the board. And you know, they won't be great on defense, but hopefully they'll just be good enough where they can win some of those close games. But if I had to pick which one I think will come out on top, I would say Ohio State.
We are talking Big Ten football this weekend with Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment, and we are going to transition now. And Jason, I definitely wanted you to weigh in on this. I'm thinking back in the day when you played in the NFL and for the Carolina Panthers. A name that continues to surface is Ryan Leaf. And I'm not sure if you've heard the latest headline, but of course a Texas prosecutor has rescinded the outstanding warrants for Ryan. Unfortunately, he is, I hate to even mention this, but he's from my hometown, Great Falls, Montana. He went to my rival high school, CMR. So,
so it's Alyssa Walker Campbell and Ryan Leaf.
Ooh, don't put that together. what do you know about this guy?
Well,
when is he ever going to grow up and get it right? I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
You know, this is the thing. He's got issues, obviously, with drug abuse, and I have sympathy in my heart for people that struggle with that just because of my own experiences. But this is Ryan Leaf, not just when he's on drugs. This is him going back to when he was at college. I mean, he was a guy who he made the circuit with, you know, there was about 10 or 15 of us who, you know, went from award show to award show, and Leaf was one of those guys with, you know, myself and my teammate Grant Wistrom and Peyton Manning, and there was a few other guys, and Leaf was one of them, and he just gave you that feeling where you just said, man, I just don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I think you hope that at some point you grow out of that, right? I mean, I'm sure people looked at me and said, man, that's, you know, I remember my cousin said, gosh, you're just so arrogant. And you know, this is kind of when I was playing. And that's part of, I think, a lot of athletes. Obviously, there's a confidence about them, and that's part of what gets you to that highest level is you can't get to that level if you don't have some sort of confidence in your abilities. But then it's just about the way that you treat other people. And just from my experiences and what I've seen and the way I saw him associate and come in contact with other people, it just didn't seem like he was a genuine type guy. And, you know, at age 36 now, 37, whatever he is.
Is that how old he is? My goodness. Wow.
You just hope that he would grow out of that. And you know, you hear about stealing, you know, medicine from players he was coaching. And I mean, it's just embarrassing, and at some point, and I know this is the scary thing about addiction. If that is the case with him, if it is truly, you know, a drug addiction, is that it makes you do things that, you know, you're not proud of. Fortunately, I was never in a situation where I had to steal from anybody. And it's shocking, too, when you think about Ryan Leaf, because he was that second pick. He signed a much bigger contract than what I signed as the 14th pick.
Right.
And it's sad to think that, you know, he's at a point where he's stealing to support his habit. But you know, we'll see what happens. You just kind of hope he gets his life turned around and he's able to do something productive with it.
Well, certainly is very sad. Jason, thank you so much for your insight on that. We appreciate you coming on, and we will catch up with you next week, and I'm sure there'll be some more fun storylines to talk about. You take care, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close and join us online at eradiosports.com. We will be right back.